We're going to get some stress-free tips this morning. The book is called The Mayo Clinic Guide to Stress-Free Living. Our guest this morning is Dr. Amit Sood, who has got some scientific, proven, structured, and practical approaches to understanding the brain's different modes and how that can be transferred into being stress-free. Good morning, Dr. Sood. Let's talk a little bit, first of all, what is stress?
Stress is your struggle with what is. It is your struggle with what was, what might be. When you're having stress, you're fighting, your body's fighting against yourself. And that cannot lead to a healthy existence. It leads to risk of heart disease and stroke and cancer and memory loss and so on. What we have found is there are two reasons we get stressed. One is when our brain is very busy and when our brain is feeling insecure. So we thought we should devise creative ideas to help our brain be less busy and less insecure. And through that thought process, we found skills. One is we educate people about their brain, and then we share skills so that they can get more mileage out of their brain by engaging in a positive way with the present moment and by cultivating gratitude, compassion, acceptance, thinking about higher meaning and forgiveness. And when you put that all together in a structured way, it can have tremendous benefit on your stress. We have tested this model in dozens of research studies and found that it provides remarkable benefit.
When we think of the brain, we also have to think of the mind. And I've talked to other people before, sort of they're connected, but they're different. Can you kind of separate the two and how you work with those two concepts?
Yeah, well, nobody knows what mind is. You can think of mind as emergent property of brain activity, or mind as separate entity altogether. The way I look at this is I think brain is the hardware, mind is the software, and together they produce our experience.
Now, when we're doing these type of things, are we tricking our brain or our mind? Are we making us do some things that we otherwise wouldn't do, but we're using whatever the brain likes to do, and we kind of do those type of things to help relieve the stress?
No, we are not tricking the brain and mind. We all of us come with the gratitude software already installed, the compassion software installed, forgiveness software installed. What we are trying to do is intentionally activate those parts of the brain and enhance them, empower them, so that they become the dominant force in our life, so that our instinct is not to judge or not to not forgive. Our instinct is to accept people as best as we can, be grateful for them, and be compassionate.
We're talking today with Dr. Amit Sood about the Mayo Clinic's Guide to Stress-Free Living. One of the things that's talked about quite a bit here is how your mind wanders. Is that a good thing, a bad thing, and how do we use it to our benefit?
Well, some mind wandering is necessary, but if you're spending 2/3 or 80% of the day with a wandering mind, then that is counterproductive. If I ask you, have you ever read a book, you read half a page, and then you say, what was I reading? Where were you at that time? You were mind wandering, and what research shows, we spend about 1/2 to 2/3 of the day every day with a wandering mind. I don't know of anybody whose mind is wandering and they're saying, okay, I'm going to sit in a corner and think all happy stuff. When our mind is wandering, we are thinking about neutral or negative thoughts. We are stewing on stuff, and research shows that increases your risk of anxiety, depression, attention deficit, and perhaps even dementia. So some mind wandering is good, but too much is not good, and mind wandering into negative stuff is not good either.
When we think of stress, many times you think, well, it's the people in my life, or it's the job that I have, or it's something external. You're telling me most of this, though, is really, stress is what we make of it internally then, right?
Yeah, stress is both. It is external as well as internal. So if I may ask you, what is your source of joy in life? You might say my spouse, my kids, my house, my car, my work, my neighborhood. And then if I ask you what is your source of stress, you'll say, of course, my spouse, my kids, my house, my neighborhood, my work. You know, so the source of stress and source of joy are the same. It is how we engage with them. What produces stress is when there is too much demand-resource imbalance, when there is lack of control, and when we do not find meaning in these aspects.
Can you give us some, maybe a lesson or a training tip that you have in this book that can help us deal with stress?
Yes, a couple of ideas. One is, for at least the minor stuff, I ask myself, will it matter 5 years from now? 90 to 95% of my stressors, I realized, were minor things in life. And then I asked myself, what happened in 2009 that I still worry about today in 2014? This is very little. So then I've given myself this gift that anything that would not bother me in 2019, I don't bother about it today. So that is one. Second is focusing on what went right within what went wrong. So a few years ago, I had a car accident, and one of the earliest response I had was gratitude that nobody got hurt, and that led to everything positive from that. The other one is, you are an agent of service and love. You be flexible about your preferences, and you stop enjoying what you're trying to improve. We have this wonderful urge to improve others, but when you see your loved ones, try not to improve them, because you can either improve them or enjoy them.
When I was thinking about that, you're talking about maybe other people think you need to feel stress. Have you ever thought, there's the point where someone will say, your spouse perhaps, don't you feel this? Aren't you upset about this? Isn't this something that is bothering you? How do you deal with that type of situation?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think if I have a stoic, indifferent, mask-like face when somebody is feeling adversity, then I am sort of belittling that person, and I'm creating silos, I'm creating hierarchy. That's not the point. The point is to be an emotional, engaged person, but still do not drive yourself into a ditch. A perfect example is when you're driving, if you veer off, you hear the rumble strips, and when you feel the rumble strips, you come back to the road, and that's fine. But if you do not engage positively at that time, you'll end in the ditch. So the idea is to be appropriately stressed. Do things that bring you back to the highway. Don't fall into the ditch.
What about knowing the signs of stress? How you know there are probably some early signs where you're kind of on the fence of actually going to maybe, not be bothered by something, to where something is then going to raise your heart rate, make your, you're not going to feel, you're going to feel confused, your brain's going to start racing. What are some of the things internally you can kind of be aware of to know you might be getting into a stressful situation?
Yeah, stress is one of those things which sometimes does not give early signs. For example, I'm sitting right now, and if I get up and I think my leg has gone to sleep, why didn't I recognize before it started going to sleep, right? And so stress sometimes manifests as you may be feeling tired, you can't focus better, you are a little bit irritable, you have emotional eating, you let go of your healthy habits like exercise and healthy eating, etc. And your sleep is disturbed, you may be a little anxious, you don't find as much joy in life, you don't want to get out of bed on Monday morning. When those kinds of things are happening and your spouse or partner is telling you that you've become a little bit more difficult to live with, that just tells you that you've got a lot of stress. And it is important, though, to recognize many times you will not have any symptom or sign. And that is why we emphasize for people to be proactive. Stress is a bit like high cholesterol. It remains subclinical and silent until it starts speaking and sometimes takes you to the ER. So be proactive, be proactively grateful, be proactively compassionate, be proactively forgiving if you can. Engage with life in a full way, because that will not only decrease your stress, but it will also make you happier. It will make you stronger, kinder, and happier.
We sort of started talking about the brain and the mind, but the body has a big part with this stress. It seems to be the one that gets the kick or the results of it. What do we need to do for our bodies as far as stress is concerned? Is there a thing for that?
Yeah, of course you can, it's easy to say decrease your stress, but, the way busy we are and how sometimes we feel insecure, it's not easy to let go of all the stressors. But you can certainly compensate. The five core aspects are healthy diet, physical exercise, but don't do too much of it, having meaningful relationships, having adequate sleep, and then the fifth one is having some program of relaxation. When you do all that, you can somehow compensate the negative effect that stress has on your body.
The book is called The Mayo Clinic Guide to Stress-Free Living. There's a little homework involved in this, too, I think, because obviously if you kind of document or write things down, that helps you kind of focus on that. But it's some good advice, and if people want to pick this up, it's, again, The Mayo Clinic Guide to Stress-Free Living. Our guest today has been Dr. Amit Sood. We appreciate your time this morning. If people want to find out more about this book or about the stress-free living, what's the best way for them to do that?
Well, the book is sold everywhere. The books are sold online as well as in-store. MayoClinic.com is a wonderful website. You can look at my website. It's amitsood.com. Or you can email me at sood.amit@mayo.edu.
Now, I noticed in your title that it says you're also a resiliency expert. How did you become such an expert in resiliency?
Well, resilience is the opposite of stress. Resilience is your ability to withstand and bounce back from adversity. I came from overseas. I had seen a lot of stress and suffering, and I survived it. And so when I came to U.S., I thought I'm coming to Disneyland. Everybody here is going to be happy with less poverty, etc. But what I realized was there was a lot of stress here, and so I started applying ideas to enhance my own resiliency and trying to help my patients become more resilient so that they can withstand adversity, they can bounce back from adversity. We did a bunch of studies and found that those ideas helped, and that's how I've become, you can call sort of a resiliency expert.
Sounds great. Dr. Sood, we appreciate your time, and thanks for sharing your information with us today. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much.